1 Kings chapter 19. And we're going to read about this encounter of when Elijah met with the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 19. Yeah, Cooley, can you come and read it? I can't read, I haven't got my glasses. Sad.
The ESV, yeah?
No, I read it in the NLT. study the ESV, read publicly the NLT.
So 1 Kings 19, 1 to 18. Elijah flees to Sinai. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: "May the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you have killed them." Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died." Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread, baked on hot stones in a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, "Get up and eat some more, or your journey ahead will be too much for you." So he got up and he ate and he drank, and the food given to him, and it gave him the strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. The Lord speaks to Elijah. But the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. As Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied again, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." Then the Lord said to him, "Go back the same way you have come, and travel the wilderness of the Damascus. When you have arrived there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat."
Not Snapchat.
Not Snapchat, no, it looks a bit like it. "From the town of Abel Meholah, to replace you as my prophet. Anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will preserve 7,000 of others in Israel who have never bowed their knee to Baal or kissed him." So Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field.
We're up to 18 here. Thank you. That's enough. That's it. You're good. Thank you. You're a star, Andy. Thank you so much. Very good. I just need to ask you a few questions to start with. The story that we have just read of Elijah meeting with God, I need to ask you the question, how hungry this morning are you to meet with the living God? I just need to ask you a question. How hungry are you this morning to come face to face with the living God? How much do you want to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? How much does it shape your thinking? I want to ask you the question, how much would you be willing to pay in terms of reputation and time to meet the living God? Because I believe that God will fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit to the extent that we hunger for it. And if we're not very hungry for God this morning, don't worry, but I'd encourage you, grow in your hunger to meet with God, because we want to be in the presence of the living God. And the extent that you and I are hungry for it is the extent that God will come and meet us today. It defines it. And if we come in and we think, it's fine, I've got loads of other things that are going on. My life is quite full. At the moment, my life is quite full. Somebody asked me on Saturday, oh, what did you do yesterday? And my mind was just a complete blank. I didn't have a clue. And I didn't have a clue because there were so many things that are going on in my life. And I thought, oh my Lord, how hungry am I to lay everything else down just to meet with God? To see him face to face. I love the verse in Hebrews 11 that says this. It is one of the most obvious statements in the Bible. It says this. Anybody who wants to come to God must believe that he exists. Of course. Of course. If you want to meet with him, you've got to believe that he exists. And he rewards those who earnestly seek after him. How earnestly are we seeking to meet with the Lord? I so loved when Stanley preached and he came down here. And I keep remembering it because Stanley said, how much are we willing to plug in and switch on to what God is doing? And this morning, I just want to come back and ask this question. How much are we going to hunger after the Lord? And I want to do something different this morning. I want to just invite the Holy Spirit to come and fill us right now. I want to do that. And I want there to be faith in the room that actually our lives will be different because we're meeting after God. We're hungry to know more of him. And then we're going to look into these verses from 1 Kings 19. But the thing is that we can talk about Elijah and Elisha meeting with God, but unless we actually experience it, what's the point? I don't want to just talk about it forever and ever. I really don't. I want my life that when I'm talking to my friends who I play rugby with, there's something of the power of God in my words. And when I offer to pray for people, I don't want just to have sort of like happy platitudes to make them feel better. I want God to break in and heal them. I don't want to waste my time just being nice. I want the power of God to fall on us. Can I ask you to stand? Did you have any prophetic words? Did you have anything prophetic just yet? No. Okay, that's okay. Okay. Heavenly Father, Jesus, we just come to you right now and say, Holy Spirit, we are hungry for you. Holy Spirit, this is a slightly risky moment, but I just want to ask if anybody feels that they have anything prophetic that they feel God has laid on your hearts. We're not after words of knowledge for individual people. I don't really think now is the time. Now is not the time to come and say, I feel there is somebody here who's got this wrong or that. But if anybody has any prophetic words of God speaking to us and drawing us corporately into his presence, can you just come and speak to Cooley down at the front? Jesus. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just invite you here right now. We invite you to come and to fill us again. I pray, Lord, that when we have not been hungry, I want to pray, Lord, that you would increase hunger in our midst right now. And Jesus, we know that you are going to come and fill us afresh. You now are going to come and transform our lives. Lord, when we have been floundering around without that sense of your presence over us, Lord, we pray, come, fill us now. Cause us to be hungry for you, a hunger for you to burn within us. We will not relent, oh God. We will not go on from this place. Lord, we don't want to continue our lives sort of without the power of God filling us again and again and again. So we come to you now, Holy Spirit, and we give you free reign. We give you free reign.
See a picture of Aurora Borealis, and it only happens in the Northern Hemisphere when conditions in a specific way. But you're not going to see it if you're on the equator. You will only see it when you're in this specific area in the Northern Hemisphere. And that, I believe that is saying, come, do you want me? You need to move. Yes, I'm everywhere, but you need to move. I'm like the Aurora Borealis this morning. If you want to experience me, you need to come. Yeah. You need to come. Yeah. Where's your expectation?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Father, thank you. Yes, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we do expect, Lord, to meet with you. We don't want to be standing in a building in Colindale with arms open, not expectant. But we're expectant of you, Holy Spirit, to pour yourself out on us, to radically change us, to bring revival through our nation, through us, Lord. We're asking, come on us. Somebody will have an interpretation of that tongue. So let me help you when that somebody was praying out in that tongue. If you felt God was saying something to you, you can pray something out and we will say, yeah, that was an interpretation of that tongue.
My church, I long for you. Come close to me. Come draw into me.
Yeah.
I am your strong fortress. I am your safe place.
Yeah.
I'm like a mother hen who gathers the chicks to them. Come rest in me. Come pursue me. Come after me.
Come on.
A delight when you spend time with me.
Yes, Lord.
You, my sons and daughters, are the apples of my eye.
Yeah.
Come pursue me.
Yeah, thank you. Come on, Lord. Amen. Come.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come fill this place and flood the atmosphere. Your presence, Lord, is what our hearts long for, to be overwhelmed by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come fill place and flood the atmosphere. Your presence, Lord, is what our hearts long for, to be overwhelmed by your presence, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord, we delight in you above anything else. Lord, you are the pearl of great price. Lord, we will sell everything that we have to pursue you with passion and joy. Lord, you are the one that brings us hope. You are the one that brings us joy, O God, in the midst of all sorts of turmoil. You are the one, O God, and it's only in you, O Lord. We delight in you, and we will hold you in the greatest esteem. Lord, we will orchestrate our lives around the pursuit of you and being filled with your Holy Spirit. But we ask you now, come in power, Lord. Come in power in our midst. Yes, Lord. Father, we thank you. Yes, Lord. Father, we thank you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yeah. 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 Yes. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Yeah. Lord, the measure to which you are hungry for me, says the Lord, is the measure to which I will come and fill you. The measure to which you are hungry for me, says the Lord, is the measure to which I will come and fill you. And Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and he said, when you gather together, singing psalms and songs to one another. One or two will prophesy. One or two will speak in tongues. One or two will interpret. And it's an indication of the Spirit of God moving in our midst. And this isn't what we normally do on a Sunday. But I feel God is coming to this place and saying, no, value me and my presence above anything else. Father, we thank you. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yeah. Lord Jesus. Yeah. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Lord Jesus. Lord. Yes. Lord, there is nothing so sweet as looking to you, Lord, and forgetting ourselves for a moment. Just want to mention that if you in this moment feel slightly uncomfortable, just please forgive me. Forgive me for leading us this way. But there is something about the freedom of the Holy Spirit that is worth the reputational loss of not being in control. And there is something about being a people who together pursue the presence and the delight of the Lord, even when sometimes we don't feel we can't control it. And church ceases to be neat and tidy and predictable. But the Spirit of God is at work. And he says, hunger after me. Hunger after me. Hunger after me. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus.
I can just see a picture of a beautiful bride, and I feel like God's saying, this is what he's been waiting for. This is what he wants us to do. He wants us to just come and adore him and just present ourselves in love before him.
Yeah. Did everybody hear what Caroline just shared? I don't think they did.
Sorry, I said I could see a picture of a beautiful bride, and I feel that God is just saying to us, this is what he's been waiting for. This moment is what he's been waiting for. Not all the preparations and all the housework and all the busyness, but this is what he's been waiting for when we just gaze at him and adore him and be in love with him.
Father, thank you. Yeah, yeah. Lord Jesus. Oh God. Yes, Lord. Lord, you will do more in our midst than we could ever plan for, than we could ever think for, than we could ever hope for. When, Lord, our attention is turned to you. And sometimes there are elements when we have to let go of control for the Spirit of God to break in. The Bible says, do everything decently and in order. And there are sometimes when we give freedom to the Holy Spirit in a moment like this. And sometimes you have to just trust. You have to just trust that the Lord will do a good work in your life when you release yourself to him. And sometimes you have to release that there'll be leaders in the room that will be able to somehow be able to manage something if something untoward happens, that somehow they will break in and bring order and do things decently in order. But we will not allow church just to always be totally controlled. The Spirit of God has to blow through us and bring freedom, and he brings joy. Yeah. Come on, Lord. Yeah. Father, we thank you. God. Lord, we want to thank you that we could stay in this place forever. But we know too that you speak to us clearly through Scripture. And I want to ask, oh God, that as we look at these verses in 1 Kings, I pray, would you speak to us? Would you speak to us? Would you, Lord, say that the words that are just so right for us, would you drop them into our hearts, oh God, that we would be radically different, that we would be so filled with the Spirit that when we go back to our homes or when we go back to work on Monday or whatever it is that we're doing, that we are different, that we carry something of your anointing over our lives. Come on as we pray, oh Lord. Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Do that every week.
Just take your seats, can you? We do have to do something like that every week because we're pursuing the presence of the living God. And I just want to briefly mention that over the next 7 weeks, we're just going to start laying, this week and the next 7 weeks, just talk a little bit about living on purpose and living to build a healthy life and a healthy church. And we just want to talk about three things that we really believe that we want to be very intentional about, the things that we want to pursue. And then we'll then talk about five characteristics that I would really love if people walked in to the church, they would say, oh, this is what this church is about. And I don't know if we can come up the next one, Tim, it'd be really helpful. Three things that we want to do very much on purpose. One, the first thing is this, we just want to enjoy the presence of God. And it's different. So when we start saying it publicly, it means that this becomes who we are. You know, we just have to do this. We have to give freedom to the Spirit of God more and more. The second thing that we want to do to give ourselves is to get involved in very relevant and intentional evangelism. We want to be able to speak our faith to other people very clearly. I don't know if anyone has seen the latest Alpha videos that have just come out. They're absolutely blinding. HTB have spent something like £2 million producing the updated videos. No longer is it Nicky Gumbel standing in front of a church looking so wonderfully smart and lovely and speaking to everybody like that, you know? But he instead is, they've shot each different video in a different nation of the world, and it's just very, very exciting. I watched it. But we want to get involved in intentional evangelism. We were at Ornella's wedding, her wedding in a church last night, sitting next to a woman, and she just said, I feel I need to reconnect with God spiritually, but I don't really know where to go. And I thought, well, I know where you could come. It's amazing. But we want to be involved in relevant evangelism. And then the last thing is this, that we want to be involved in transforming our community. We know we want to do that. We want to press in all that stuff over there on that. The Harvest Festival. We're a proper church because we've got a Harvest Festival. Okay. But we want to do that. We want to be a food bank and CAP and night shelter and glass door and anything that we can do. And here are some of the characteristics that we will preach through over the next few weeks that I think we really want to be known for. One is this, that we want to be a family. We want to be a church family. London has few enough families as it is. We want to be a church family. We want to feel like a family together. We want to be a courageous church. Wouldn't it be great if people came in to this church and saw us for the first time and said, wow, there were some people who were quite courageous. They went off, they heard God, and they just did it. That was fantastic. The second thing is this, and we've said it for a while, we want to be the most generous church that we know, and I want to be the most generous man that I know. Fourth thing is this, we want to be a pure church. You know, we want to be really radical on living wholeheartedly for Jesus, pursuing purity, encouraging one another to live pure, pure lives. And then lastly, we want to be a church that honors people. That when we see, we want to honor Ray, you know, when he comes out and he's being faithful. And we want to honor Lucy for sleeping out and William for sleeping out in that place. We want to honor whatever people are doing, wherever you are making an impact for the kingdom of God. We want to honor that and celebrate that and say, fantastic. Well done. Streams of living water to flow out from us. So that's what we're going to be doing. I hope that's okay. If it's not okay, whoops. But that's what we're going to be doing. That's what we're going to be doing for the next, for today and the next 7 weeks, just looking through all of those things. So we don't have a tremendous amount of time because we're going to come back to worship. What happens in the presence of God? We'll go on to the next one. What happens in the presence of God is firstly this. I cease to be the focus of my life. It is the most wonderful, liberating thing. When Elijah stood in that cave and all of those things came past him, all of those different phenomena came past him, and then suddenly this still, small voice of God. I don't think Elijah was thinking about himself. He was under so much pressure. There were people following him, trying to kill him. He thought, I am the only prophet of God left. And they're trying to kill even me. There was pressure on the man. He knew what it was to be under pressure. But he stood at the entrance to that cave. And I don't think he was thinking about himself anymore. And you know what? To be liberated from thinking about yourself is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'm going to read the first line of this fantastic book. I'd encourage all of you to read The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. It says this. It's not about you. This is where he's talking about living a purposeful life. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by his purpose and for his purpose. Amen. Do you know what? The joy I think I found when I was liberated from being consumed with myself was quite phenomenal. And it was probably a great joy to everyone else as well. when I ceased to be consumed with my soul. But that's what happens when we come into the presence of God. Things that loomed large suddenly come to a new and different perspective. And sometimes our issues can be overwhelming and we can be facing all sorts of issues. But actually, I think there is something of being human that our brain finds peace when we focus on someone else. And when our brain finds peace when we focus on the one who loves us, who has an eternal destiny, who has good things in store for us, there is peace and there is joy. And do you know what it is? In Christian jargon, it's called worship. That's why we worship. That's why we worship. And that's why sometimes there are so many songs that are actually based on us. And I think it's okay, you know, it's okay. But you want to start with songs that declare who God is and his goodness and his favor and his mercy. We want to be focused on him. Whoops. We want to see what God is doing. He is the one who is the object of our desire. The other thing that happens is that this, that when we come into the presence of God, we don't focus on ourselves, we focus on him. Is the second thing is that we do actually become more like Jesus. The best plans and the best ideas I have ever had in my life have been when I pray, or been in a time of worship, or been when I've been fasting. You know, so if earlier on when we were just saying, come Holy Spirit, if you were, can I just ask you, okay, if when you were singing, we were saying, come Holy Spirit, come fill us, and you were thinking, I don't really know what to do here. But there was something that you just kept thinking about. But I want to talk about, I want to pray for that. I want to suggest that sometimes in these moments is when God speaks to us. Our best plans have been sort of like forged in times of prayer. All of this building, all the renovation, do you know what? It happened when we were praying and fasting. What a coincidence. We were focusing on what God was doing, and we were just coming to him, praying and fasting. And then what happened is we thought, oh, well, let's go over and talk to those people over there. It was as we were doing it. We were talking to them hungry because we were praying and fasting. That's the place. The best plans do not come out of committees. Trust me. The best arguments come out of committees. And the best disagreements come out of committees. But the best ideas and the best plans for your life come when in the presence of the living God. And what happened is that when we saw this story here, Elijah, what it says is, and Andy read it, and thank you for reading it last minute, but what happened was Elijah was in the presence of God, and then it says, God said to him, go and appoint Jehu over this, go and appoint somebody else, Shaphat. And I read it because I didn't have my glasses on Snapchat this morning. Anyway, so it wasn't Snapchat, Shaphat it was. And then it says, and go and appoint Elisha as a prophet. Now, what it says is that God said that to him. It wasn't an audible voice. But he was in the presence of the Lord, and suddenly God spoke to him, and he went and did this. The best plans come in the presence of the Lord. An extraordinary thing. Do you want to know God's plan for your life? You know, good.
Yes.
It's not bad. It's not a bad thing to have, really, is it? On balance, I suppose it's a good thing. Do we want to know God's plan for this church?
Yes.
Do we want to know God's plan for your neighbors who don't know Jesus? We do. Where's the best place to find those plans? In the presence of the Lord. The best plans come in the presence of the Lord. What happened to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? He was there. God, Heavenly Father, I don't want to do this. But somehow in the presence of his Heavenly Father, he was changed. He said, no, but not my will, but your will be done. In the presence of the Lord. And then the third thing that happens is this. When we're in the presence of the Lord, we're strengthened. We're strengthened. We become stronger. Elijah then went off and made all these, implemented all these changes. He went out and did some stuff. Jesus said, okay, I'll go and go to the cross. He didn't want to go to the cross, but he was strengthened and he was boldened. And how many people want to be strengthened and emboldened and encouraged to go and do what God wants you to do? I do. I want to do that. I want to be acting in what God has called me to do. And I need God's strength in there. Actually, what God said to Elijah was, go back the way you came. You came this way, I just want you to go straight back. And sometimes you want God to change these situations, and what he's going to say is, turn around, go straight back into it. But do it differently. Do it with my plans, in my strength. Do it like that. And he was saying, no, but I'm the only prophet left. I don't know what to do. He was just moaning. And God said, no, you're not. There's 700 of you left. You need to go back exactly the way you came. Go back into that situation, but do it in my strength, with my plans, with my people, with my attitude. How do we come into the presence of God? If you've just gone, we're going to move on quick. How do we come into the presence of God? God always draws us. He is always the one who initiates it. He draws us into his presence. Even coming to church this morning, and you think, no, I just want to be in the presence of the Lord. I just want to do that. I want to be in the presence of the Lord. But do you know what? It requires a response from us. We need to be intentional. The response that so often it requires from me is I need to get up and get dressed and come to church. I have to do that. Or sometimes I have to get up and get dressed and go and sit in my chair and read and pray. But it requires effort from us, doesn't it? It requires effort from Elijah to go to the mountain where he met the Lord. It requires something of us. It requires something of us to lay down aspects of our lives, think, no, we will pursue God. That's why I asked right at the beginning, how hungry are we? Because there will be things that we'll have to not do to pursue the presence of the Lord. I'm going to move on quickly. We come into God's presence with humility, but we can also come to God's presence with confidence. We know that God loves us. Just very quickly, where do you think we can come into the presence of the Lord? It's a bit of a silly question, but where? Psalm 139 says this. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. There is no limit to where you can come into the presence of God. There is no limit. Because God's Spirit is with us. We cannot get away from it. We're going to move on. Practically, what does it look like to come into the presence of God? Well, sometimes I think it can look a little uncomfortable. If you're used to church being very ordered and neat rows, well, sometimes it doesn't always look like that. Dave, was it you that prayed out in tongues? So Dave prayed out in tongues. And who else prayed out in tongues? You prayed out in tongues. It's fantastic. Do you know, but sometimes you think, I remember when I first heard somebody speaking in tongues, I thought, what on earth is that? Is somebody speaking like Hebrew or something like that? Didn't know they could speak. Well, no, but you read it in the Bible. But it's a little bit uncomfortable. You think, oh, I hope. And then it's uncomfortable for me because I'm thinking, well, somebody's spoken out. I really hope somebody brings a really good interpretation. Please, Lord, make somebody. Yeah. So Dave did as well, and Sandra did as well. And I'm sort of like, you might not look it, but I'm thinking, Jerry, come on, Jerry. Please, Jerry, do it because we want to be biblical. Come on. And then you hear this. Oh, fantastic! Somebody's doing it. But sometimes it's uncomfortable. And then somebody will share something. And then somebody might start crying or something like that. And you think, oh, this is a little bit awkward now. Like, do you know what? We have to give the freedom to the Holy Spirit to come. And what does it look like? Sometimes it doesn't always look as comfortable as we want it to be. But the end goal is not actually our comfort. That's the point. The end goal is not our comfort. The end goal is that the power of God is working in our lives more and more and more. I do think there is something unique about coming together to worship and just delighting in God. And because I am encouraged. You know, you encourage me. When Sandra and Dave pray out in tongues, and when somebody else, when Jonathan brings an interpretation to it, it encourages me. I think, oh, come on, yeah. And it encourages, and that's what we're supposed to be people who encourage one another into the presence of God to shape and transform an unbelieving world. I think there is something of when we gather together this expectation that God will do something. I was really like praying before we came and thought, God, I know actually it's right to have this time of ministry, but God, you have to do something. You know, if I'm going to do something different, you have to show up. But I think there's something of faith in it. There's something of faith. And, you know, when Stanley preached the other day, and there's a few times when I think, no, it's faith. God is going to do something. When we step out in faith, God will back up those who step out in faith. And so what I want to do is now, I just want to ask you the question. And in a minute, I'm going to ask the band to come back up. But my question to you is this. What changes do you have to make? And what changes do I have to make? But I will answer it for myself. Thank you very much. What changes do we have to make to enjoy the presence of God more? Practically, what do you have to do tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday to enjoy the presence of the God of God more? So can I just ask the band, Manuela, could you come back up? And what is it, Andy? Yeah, the band. So just while these guys are getting ready, just have a think. If you've got a pen, write something down. What changes do I have to make to enjoy the presence of God more? I thought we didn't really dig into that passage that talked about Elijah meeting with God. We in no way did that scripture justice. But take away one thing. Elijah was in trouble and he met with God. He was in trouble. All sorts of things were going wrong. And then a storm brewed up. And all sorts of things were passing in front of him. But then the still small voice of God spoke. He met with God. And the history of the people of God changed. He went and appointed Elisha as a prophet after him. And the word of the Lord was retained amongst the people of God. Jesus, we will pursue your presence corporately together at church, on our own, in the quiet place of our rooms. Speak to us, Lord, when we read your Bible. Let us not just read empty words. Help us to study what you are saying to us in the quiet place, on our own, in the Bible. Teach us how to pray to you, O God, on our own. Teach us how to do it corporately together. Father, thank you. Jesus, we will pursue being in your presence. Let's stand, shall we?